am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Thursday, October 13th, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. Let's start. I thought we would play Wagner to bring us in today, but that might be cliche. So let us... I was going to do that Ride of the Valkyries, and I thought we might do that, but it would be somewhat cliche, and I would say, I know what you're thinking, it's not what you think. So we have foregone that, but I will start today with an excerpt from William Shearer's The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. So from... Page 100, and Book 1, The Rise of Adolf Hitler, Chapter 4, The Mind of Hitler and the Roots of the Third Reich. Shearer writes, and here took the view, here Nietzsche took the view of most of the 19th century German thinkers. In the thundering Old Testament language in which thus spake Zarathustra is written, the philosopher cries out, "Ye shall love peace as a means to new war, and the short peace more than long." So this sounds kind of like what Jesus said in Matthew 24, for example. "You I advise not to work but to fight. You I advise not to peace but to victory. Ye say it is the good, you say it is the good cause which halloweth even war. I say unto you, it is the good war which halloweth every cause. War and courage have done more great things than charity." You know, I think with this and Lenny, the rumor is when Frank Capra saw Leni Riefenstahl's Triumph of the Will, Capra basically said, "There's no way we can win this war." And so the mythos is important, as we will see. Finally, there was Nietzsche's prophecy of the coming elite who would rule the world and from whom the Superman would spring. But this is not quite as we would imagine things. So maybe there's more to the story. In The Will to Power, he exclaims, quote, "A daring and ruler race is building itself up." Is it perhaps the same? Is it the same contingent that Geordie Rose says we should expect by 2030? The aim should be to prepare a transvaluation of values for a particularly strong kind of man, most highly gifted in intellect and will. That's funny because that describes the Antichrist as well. This man and the elite around him will become the lords of the earth. Again, that seems to describe the Antichrist. Nietzsche was notorious for the concept, right? Such rantings from one of Germany's most original minds must have struck a responsive chord in Hitler's littered mind. At any rate, he appropriated them for his own. Not only the thoughts, but the philosopher's penchant for grotesque exaggeration and often his very words, quote, "lords of the earth," is a familiar expression in Mein Kampf. That in the end, Hitler considered himself the Superman of Nietzsche's prophecy cannot be doubted. Well, I don't know if I agree with Scherer, but continuing. Quote, "whoever wants to understand National Socialist Germany must know Wagner," Hitler used to say. And Scherer footnotes, "my own recollection is confirmed by Otto Tolschius in his They Wanted War, page 11. This may have been based on a partial misconception of the great composer, for though Richard Wagner, harbored a fanatical hatred, as Hitler did, for the Jews, who he was convinced were out to dominate the world with their money, and though he scorned parliaments and democracy and the materialism of mediocrity of the bourgeoisie, he also fervently hoped that the Germans, with their special gifts, would become not rulers but ennoblers of the world. It was not his political writings, however, but his towering operas, recalling so vividly the world of Germany, German antiquity, with the heroic myths, its fighting pagan gods and heroes, its demons and dragons, its blood feuds and primitive tribal codes, its sense of destiny, of the splendor of love and life and the nobility of death, which inspired the myths of modern Germany and gave it a Germanic Weltanschauung, which Hitler and the Nazis, with some justification, took over as their own. So, a Germanic worldview. From his earliest days, Hitler worshipped Wagner. And even as his life neared a close in the damp and dreary bunker at army headquarters on the Russian front, with his world and his dreams beginning to crack and crumble, he loved to reminisce about all the times he had heard the great Wagnerian works and what they had meant to him and the inspiration he had derived. Though Hitler reiterated in his monologue that winter evening that to him Tristan und Isolde was Wagner's masterpiece, it is the stupendous Nibelungen Ring, a series of four operas which was inspired by the great German epic myth Nibelungenlied, and on which the composer worked for the better part of 25 years, that gave Germany and especially the Third Reich so much of its primitive Germanic mythos. Often a people's myths are the highest and truest expression of its spirit and culture, and nowhere is this more true than in Germany. Schelling even argued that, quote, "a nation comes into existence with its mythology. The unity of its thinking, which means a collective philosophy, is presented in its mythology. Therefore, its mythology contains the fate of the nation." And so we begin. It's interesting what has gone into the shaping of our mythology in the Western world over the last 5 centuries in particular. I think it's interesting as I investigate the Western literary canon, for example. You can look that up on Wikipedia, for example. Western literary canon, which is, I would say that's kind of a borrowing of terminology. It's the secularizing of the terminology, as Toynbee observed in A Study of History. And secularizing of the language. The canon is typically associated, obviously, with the Bible, books that have been canonized. And so you can see in the Western literary canon that there are a number of different collections. There's the Modern Library, Penguin Classics, Oxford World Classics, Everyman's Library, the Albatross Books, Routledge, etc., etc. And many more, obviously, but among them, there is the Harvard. There are the Harvard classics, and from the Wikipedia entry, the Harvard classics originally marketed as Dr. Eliot's 5-foot shelf of books. Who was Dr. Eliot? Is a 50-volume series of classic works of world literature. Important speeches and historical documents compiled and edited by Harvard University President Charles W. Eliot, the guy who was vying for MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and somewhat controversial in his views, you might say. I wonder what John Taylor Gatto would have to say. A eugenicist and progressive. From his Wikipedia entry, Eliot was also involved in philanthropy, wink wink. In 1908, he joined the General Education Board. In 1913, served on the International Health Board. For what? Well, we'll get to that. And served as trustee of the Rockefeller Foundation from 1914 to 1917, you know, the war years. Helped found the Institute for Government Research, which became Brookings, and served as trustee. So, you know, ruling by experts, he was a technocrat. Acted as one of the philosopher kings. Acted as trustee of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace from its beginnings. A crossover figure. I wonder what Norman Dodd would have had to say about that. Was an incorporator of the Boston Museum of Fine Arts in 1870 and a trustee. Between 1908 and 25, he served as chairman of the museum's Special Advisory Committee on Education. Served as vice president on the National Committee for Mental Hygiene from 1913 till his death. Mental hygiene. Accepted election to be the first president of the American Social Hygiene Association, which sounds just creepy. The name sounds evil to me. In 1902, became vice president of the National Civil Service Reform League. And 1908, president of the league. But issues regarding eugenics. And so what is particularly interesting to me in this case is knowing that Charles William Eliot fancied himself a philosopher king, a technocrat, and eugenicists and so on. I think it's interesting. You can go to the Wikipedia entry for the Harvard Classics and see under the section titled Dr. Eliot's 5-foot shelf of books, the English Bible was excluded because Eliot and Nielsen felt that most every household would already possess at least one copy. And obviously that's incredibly disingenuous because, you know, even though that may be true, as time goes on, the psychological implication, if nothing else, is that that is the one book that is not needed. And I would argue that is the one book that is needed. You can live without all of the others. In fact, I would argue at this point that all of the other books, you know, every book on Dr. Eliot's 5-foot shelf of books is not necessary. It's unnecessary and arguably irrelevant. So in a certain context, I think, and in another context, I would probably even argue they're all worthless. So the English Bible was excluded because Eliot and Nielsen felt that most every household would already possess at least one copy. And so if Eliot's household had one, and he was, from the prominent Eliot family of Boston, I doubt that they have much time for the Bible, even though, you know, there's a background of ministers, Unitarian, typically, as I recall. I doubt they have much time for the Bible. So this brings me to what I would call the red thread. You know, if you do a Google Ngram search for red thread, it's interesting what's happened over the last 200 years. Red thread is on the rise in the last 200 years. I think it's an esoteric term. Red tape, for example, that term was introduced by Illuminized Charles Dickens. String theory, obviously, we hear about from guys like Michio Kaku, who are Kabbalists. Is it a red string, Michio? So, you know, you think of Rosicrucianism, Kabbalah, communism, obviously. These are all harbingers of the great red dragon. So, give you some examples of the red thread at work as we go on today. There is a book, perhaps you've heard of it, titled Disinformation. And the full title of the book is Disinformation, Former Spy Chief Reveals Secret Strategies for Undermining Freedom, Attacking Religion, and Promoting Terrorism. And this book was published back in 2013, along with a companion film, Disinformation, The Secret Strategy to Destroy the West. Sounds interesting. If you're not familiar, but it was published by WorldNet Daily Books, WND Books. And I would describe Joseph Farah as a militant anti-Islamic. It's glowingly endorsed by James Woolsey, none other than our James Woolsey. And who is James Woolsey? This sort of typifies what we're seeing. I mean, the hubris. This is how America works. James Woolsey was obviously former CIA director back in the 90s, 93 to 95. Once and forever, a dissembler extraordinaire. We'll continue with his pedigree and why it matters after this break. Stick around.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn, you must face them alone.
Welcome back.
Please remember.
All right, so who is James Woolsey, who glowingly endorses the book Disinformation? CIA, Undersecretary of the Navy, Stanford, Phi Beta Kappa, Rhodes Scholar, Yale Law. Oxford, obviously, Rhodes Scholar, Yale Law, Shea and Gardner Law Firm, the SALT I and the START talks, you know, the disarmament of America so that we can create a comfortable merger kind of thing. Ambassador to the negotiation on the Conventional Armed Forces in Europe, the CFE, still known as His Excellency Ambassador, referred to. Carter, Reagan, GHWB and Clinton administrations. Operation Dark Winter, 2001, the bioterrorism scenario planning exercise. Remember FBI Thrax? Not to mention Crimson Contagion, Event 201, COVID, that kind of stuff. And also his congressional testimony, swore under oath that Saddam Hussein was involved in 9/11. And again, I would say Dark Winter timing, weapons of mass destruction. Washington Institute for Near East Policy, Board of Advisors. Remember Patrick Crisis Initiation Clausen? That Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Co-founder of the United States Energy Security Council, the green scam nonsense. Senior vice president of Booz Allen Hamilton for Global Strategic Security, which is laughable. Remember how, so you have a former CIA director, senior vice president at Booz Allen Hamilton. Remember the things that Edward Snowden talked about? Booz Allen Hamilton obviously is a major part of the discussion. You put that together with R.J. Hillhouse and Tim Sherrock telling us that the intelligence community is predominantly outsourced to places like Booz Allen Hamilton. Not surprising then that James Woolsey said that Edward Snowden should be, quote, prosecuted for treason and hanged by his neck until he is dead. He was a project for the New American Century member, PNAC member. He's a strategic advisory board member for Genie Electric, along with Dick Cheney, Rupert Murdoch, and Lord Jacob Rothschild. Chancellor at the Institute of World Politics, notable speaker at the now-defunct World Affairs Council of Washington, D.C., which was funded by big oil and other evil corporations. Other than all of that, he's just a good old boy, a regular American like you and me. And the author of the book, Disinformation, is Jan Mihai Pacepa, who supported the 2003 Iraq invasion. And according to him, it was perfectly obvious that the Russian GRU helped Saddam occlude or hide or destroy weapons of mass destruction, even though Joe Wilson didn't find any yellow cake. And he told us so in the New York Times. And I would say somewhat ironically, Pacepa died from COVID, allegedly, on February 14, 2021. Speaking of the red thread, is that on the day of Corazon, the Valentine Day? So, died from COVID-19 on February 14 last year at age 92. And last but not least, you have co-author Ronald J. Rishlak, who is Phi Kappa Phi, National Association of Scholars, International Brotherhood of Magicians, the other IBM, Society of Catholic Social Scientists, Fellowship of Catholic Scholars, Catholic Association of Science, Scientists and Engineers, the Holy See's delegation to the UN, chair of the Mississippi Advisory Committee to the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. But other than that, he's just a good old boy, regular American like you and me. And speaking of Woolsey and Pacepa, there's actually a Fox News clip that I want to play. We'll hold off on that, play that in the next segment. There isn't time. Obviously, we're headed to a break, but we'll probably go to the phones, I suppose, before we do that. This is sort of emblematic when you look behind the curtain. I mean, this is what's going on. We see this kind of deep state power elite linkage everywhere, and there is a absolute denial of it. A gaslighting that would, it is insulting to the average intelligence. Leave you doubting reality and questioning your sanity. But you're sane. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather.
Welcome back.
And I'm beautiful.
Bottom of the first hour, when I say doubt not your sanity, you're saying it's the gaslighting that's insane. You know, so many of these things that we see all around us, this is one example. Play the clip of Woolsey in a minute. But I mean, there are so many things. I keep thinking, can Satan cast out Satan? You know, with one of the latest controversies is Kirk Franklin saying the crazy things that he said and then justifying it. The hubris that is coming now, when evil is unchecked, the hubris is emboldened. And so I think that's what you're seeing. You know, I can't get the image out of my mind, emblazoned in my mind of Alan West wearing his Knights Templar cape and just thinking, congratulations, you've joined the Ku Klux Klan. And there's the photo that he posted, that he tweeted. Ironically, there's a gentleman in the background. I don't know, maybe he's thinking the same thing. No, he's not thinking the same thing. But it's astonishing. This is a Christian organization. Well, I think that's what the Ku Klux Klan said originally. It's a Christian organization. I think we need to define terms. I mean, if you're going to find yourself in Hayden, Idaho, on the Butler compound anytime soon, it's probably not a Christian organization. So it's a very, very strange world that we are seeing Clay Clark having Illuminized Masonic book covers every time he publishes one of his 13 books. But no, it was an accident. It was all an accident. This is what's happening. And it requires our participation. We should all just say no. Let's go to the phones and grab Glenn in Pennsylvania. Glenn, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris. Hey, thanks for taking
morning, Glenn.
My call. Mm-hmm. I'll be quick. Working under some time constraints of my own here, too. All right. So philanthropists, you're from early on, we're at the top of the hour. Philanthropists love humans, but they couldn't eat a whole one.
Yeah, I mean, pretty
after,
much.
After Stephen Wright, you know, really ancient Stephen Wright, right? I love cats, but I couldn't eat a whole one is his version. But
right.
We are in the new age of cannibalism, the new advent of cannibalism, and Soylent Green will still be people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And mental hygiene, well, that's something you've achieved if your brain has been washed.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good thing. And of course, we're going to need, Wagner, we need Elmer Fudd's Kill the Wabbit for Bumper.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got to do Kill the Wabbit.
Kill and then the wabbit, one last thing. Kill the wabbit.
Kill the wabbit.
Kill the wabbit.
50 seconds on YouTube. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
But one last thing about red lines. If we're going to be talking about red lines, let's not forget the red cord of Rahab the harlot from Joshua mm-hmm. chapter 2, in which case
absolutely.
The red line might be it to signal the invaders not to kill you because you're their spy.
Amen. And so could it be the concept is turned on its head, I would say.
Could be. All depends on who the bad people are. But,
mm-hmm.
but you know, then I don't know.
The attempt to redefine terms, I think, is definitely in full effect.
Yeah. Well, and then again, there's always the only good Christian is a dead Christian, which is
yeah.
fine if you're Apostle Paul saying, I die daily. See, a little twist
yeah.
there, too.
Right.
All right. So you got head spinning. I had to do a quick data dump.
But I much appreciated.
Should be diligent here today, too. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Take
Thank
care.
You.
Bye-bye.
You know, that sort of reminds me of Isabel Patterson's The God of the Machine, Chapter 20, The Humanitarian with the Guillotine. And I've mentioned this before recently, actually, The Humanitarian with the Guillotine. Most of the harm in the world is done by good people and not by accident, lapse, or omission. It is the result of their deliberate actions, long persevered in. And obviously, you know, you think of Walden and a thousand hacking at the branches of evil to one of striking at the root, which is ironic. You know, the Fabians thought highly of Thoreau. And again, there's the existentialist metaphysical at work. This is demonstrably true, nor could it occur otherwise. Again, this is from chapter 20, The Humanitarian with the Guillotine of God of the Machine. The percentage of positively malignant, vicious, or depraved persons is necessarily small, for no species could survive if its members were habitually and consciously bent upon injuring one another. But that's where we're headed, ladies and gentlemen. Destruction is so easy that even a minority of persistently evil intent could shortly exterminate the unsuspecting majority of well-disposed persons. Murder, theft, raping, and destruction are easily within the power of every individual at any time. If it is presumed that they are restrained only by fear or force, what is it that they fear? What is it they fear? Or would they turn the force against them if all men were of like mind? Certainly, if the harm done by willful criminals were to be computed, the number of murders, the extent of the damage and loss would be found negligible in the sum total of death and devastation wrought upon human beings by their kind. Therefore, it is obvious that in periods when millions are slaughtered, when torture is practiced, starvation and forced oppression made a policy, as at present over a large part of the world, and as it has often been in the past, it must be at the behest of very many good people, and even by their direction, by their direct action for what they consider a worthy object. When they are not the immediate executants, they are on record as giving approval, elaborating justifications, or else cloaking facts with silence and discountenancing discussion. Whitney Webb has written some interesting things lately. You know, speaking of philanthropy, there was what was it that she wrote? It was last year, I believe, but she's written some interesting stuff lately. Over at the Unlimited Hangout, Leslie Wexner's Inner Demon is one that I will probably get to today, but this one is a fitting companion to the discussion. The cover-up continues. The truth about Bill Gates, Microsoft, and Jeffrey Epstein, and she concludes basically. So she dives down the philanthropy so-called rabbit hole, and this is kind of the final word on the subject, that Isabella and Christine Maxwell were able to forge close business ties with Microsoft after having been part of the front company that played a central role in promise-related espionage, and after explicitly managing their subsequent companies with the admitted intention to, quote, rebuild their spy father's work and legacy, strongly points to the probability of at least some Microsoft products having been compromised in some fashion, likely through alliances with Maxwell-run tech companies. And then there's the Israeli connection that she documents as well. And, you know, beyond that, I mean, I would say, again, I remember back in, what was it, 2007, that there was the NPR article that Microsoft was boasting collaboration with NSA on security for Windows 7. Continuing, the lack of mainstream media concern over the documented ties of the Epstein network to other top Microsoft executives of the past, such as Nathan Myhrvold, Linda Stone, and Steven Sinofsky, makes it clear that while it may be open season on the relationship between Bill Gates and Epstein, such is not the case for Microsoft and Epstein. And I would go a step further. You know, this is somewhat unrelated, but not really. You know, if I had a chance to ask Whitney Webb, I would say, why not Rick Allen Jones? To me, the smoking gun for Bill Gates is Rick Allen Jones. That's the final nail in the coffin. Why doesn't anybody mention Rick Allen Jones? Anyway, Whitney Webb has a couple of books Volume 1 and Volume 2, published by Trinday, and Volume 1 was forestalled, apparently. One Nation Under Blackmail, the sordid union between intelligence and organized crime that gave rise to Epstein. And I would say that, you know, philanthropy would certainly be in there as well, right? Apparently, Volume 2 is around 900 pages. I don't know what the length of Volume 1 is, but that's something. The sordid union between intelligence and organized crime that gave rise to Jeffrey Epstein. I think it includes the philanthropy network, obviously. So back to God of the Machine. Why not, since we're there, right? By good people, we mean good people, persons who would not of their own conscience intend to act or hurt their fellow men, nor procure such acts either wantonly or for a personal benefit to themselves. Good people wish well to their fellow men and wish to guide their own acts accordingly. So she's not being facetious. She's making a point. then there must be a very grave error in the means by which they seek to attain their ends. There must even be an error in the primary axioms to permit them to continue using such means. Something is terribly wrong in the procedure somewhere. What is it? Even normal granaries, people were forced to barter property and liberty for such reserves as had previously been taken from their own production. The inhuman hardness of the ancient Spartans was traced for a civil ideal of virtue. She's talking about the ancient Egyptians, by the way, the even normal granaries. Early Christians were persecuted for reasons of state, the collective welfare, and they resisted for the right of personality, each because he had a soul of his own. Those killed by Nero for sport were few compared to those put to death by later emperors for strict moral reasons. Guy de Retz, who murdered children to gratify a beastly perversion, killed no more than 50 or 60 in all. Cromwell ordered the massacre of 30,000 people at once, including infants in arms, in the name of righteousness. Even the brutalities of Peter the Great had the pretext of a design to benefit his subjects. The present war began with a perjured treaty made by two powerful nations, Russia and Germany, which in both cases seized on the excuse of doing good to the nation. The lies, the violence, the wholesale killing were practiced first on the people of both nations by their own respective governments. The wielders of power are vicious hypocrites. That their conscious objective was evil from the beginning, they could not have come to power at all except with the consent and assistance of good people. These again are the lessons of history, if we're willing to learn. Having gained power, the communists took from the peasants the land they already owned and exterminated those who resisted. This was done by plan and intention, and the lie was praised as social engineering by socialists, admirers in America. The Western press was obviously in tow as well. Russians, largely in tow. Russians in German prison camps, Germans in Russian prison camps are enduring no worse and no other fate than that their compatriots in as great numbers have endured and are enduring from their own governments in their own countries. They suffer rather less from the vengeance of avowed enemies than from the proclaimed benevolence of their compatriots. Under the Russian or German heel, these people are merely experiencing what Russians and Germans have been through for years under their own national regimes. Those who have sold their countries to the invader are socialists, ex-socialists, or communists, men whose creed was the collective good. With all this demonstrated to the hilt, we have the particular spectacle of the man who condemned millions of his own people to starvation, admired by philanthropists, whose declared aim is to see to it that everyone in the world has a quart of milk. Isn't that what Bill Gates is always saying? We're going to end world hunger. He could write a check and end world hunger today. He could certainly get his buddies together and they could write a check to end world hunger. But that's not really the objective, is it? Is that on, by the way, on Whitney Webb's One Nation Under Blackmail, Volume 2, is that Robert Maxwell on the cover with a Pizzagate tie? You know, that just kind of, I'm free associating, you know, Haitian children that we're going to help them. We're going to feed the Haitian children. Okay, well, why does Hillary Clinton's Clinton Global Initiative team have Haitian children in Idaho without their parents? What's going on there? It's just a coincidence. Nothing to see here. Look over there. This affinity of these types invariably reveals itself when the occasion arises. But what is the occasion? Why did the humanitarian philosophy of 18th century Europe usher in the Reign of Terror? It did not happen by chance. It followed from the original premise objective and means purposed. The objective is to do good to others as a primary justification of existence. The means is the power of the collective, and the premise is that collective, that good is collective. The root of the matter is ethical, philosophical, and religious, involving the relation of man to the universe, of man's creative faculty to his creator. The fatal divergence occurs in failing to recognize the normal, the norm of human life. Poverty, illness, and accident are possibilities which may be reduced to a minimum but cannot be altogether eliminated from the hazards mankind must encounter. Isabel Patterson defines terms much more clearly, which I will get to on the other side of the break. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour, back to Isabel Patterson's God of the Machine, Chapter 20, The Humanitarian with the Guillotine, defining terms, excerpts here, jumping to page 240. If the philanthropist could command the means of the producer, instead of asking for a portion, he could claim credit for production. being in a position to give orders to the producer. Then he can blame the producer for not carrying out orders to produce more. Who's buying up, what is it, 242,000 acres of farmland at last count? Bill Gates, Mr. Svalbard Seed Vault himself. If the primary objective of the philanthropist, his justification for living, is to help others, his ultimate good requires that others shall be in want. His happiness is the obverse of their misery. If he wishes to help humanity, the whole of humanity must be in need. I've explained this about socialism in the past. You know, instead of teaching people to fish, basically you want to give them a fish and then you cripple them and are surprised and unnerved when they keep showing up at your door for a fish. He cannot admire either the divine or natural order by which men have the power to help themselves. The humanitarian puts himself in the place of God. But he is confronted by two awkward facts. First, the competent do not need his assistance. And second, that the majority of people, if unperverted, positively do not want to be done good by the humanitarian, which is a point echoed obviously by Thoreau and Walden. But will those others know what is good for them? So, you know, she asks, you know, the scheme is impractical. Well, perhaps then he is to do only what is actually good for others. But will the others know what is good for them? Of course, what the humanitarian actually proposes is that he shall do what he thinks is good for everybody. It is at this point that the humanitarian sets up the guillotine. What kind of world does the humanitarian contemplate as affording him full scope? It could only be a world filled with breadlines and hospitals, in which nobody retained the natural power of a human being to help himself or to resist having things done to him. And that is precisely the world that the humanitarian arranges when he gets his way. When a humanitarian wishes to see to it that everyone has a quart of milk, it is evident that he hasn't got the milk and he cannot produce it himself. Or why should he be merely wishing? Further, if he did have a sufficient quantity of milk to bestow a quart on everyone, as long as his proposed beneficiaries can and do produce milk for themselves, they would say no. No, thank you. Then how is the humanitarian to contrive that he shall have all the milk to distribute and that everyone else shall be in want of milk? There is only one way. And that is by the use of political power in its fullest extension. Hence, the humanitarian feels the utmost gratification when he visits or hears of a country in which everyone is restricted to ration cards, where subsistence is doled out, the desideratum has been achieved of general want and a superior power to relieve it. The humanitarian, in theory, is the terrorist in action. The humanitarian, in theory, is the terrorist in action. The good people give him the power he demands because they have accepted his false promise. The advance of science lent it a specious plausibility with the increase in production. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.